name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder." This is Jesus speaking. "And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,'" which is Aramaic, essentially what we might say as an idiot, means an empty head, "is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Again, those are Jesus' words found in the Gospel of Matthew in the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 21. And I share them with you today because of what happened last night, a historic event, unfortunate historic event in our nation's history. For those of you who don't get notifications on your phone or haven't turned on the TV in the last 15 or 16 hours, or listen to a radio, or talk to a neighbor, or basically have been under a rock, what I'm talking about is that former President Trump, the leading candidate, whether people like it or not, doesn't matter, the polls show he's the leading candidate to become the next president of the United States, there was an assassination attempt, an attempt on his life. It sounds like a bullet hit his right ear. Something hit his right ear, nonetheless. And of course, there was the tragic death of an innocent bystander, someone who was shot after the bullets missed him and two others who were critically injured. It's very difficult for me to turn on the TV last night to hear about this news, but I wanted to see what was going on and learn some of the details, as I'm sure most of you did. And it was hard for me because I try to stay away from listening to the TV because of the polarization that we so often find. And last night was certainly no exception, unfortunately, to that, although there were some people who normally would be polarizing who weren't so much. But in any case, turned on the TV last night to get updated. And I have spoken many times in the past, especially since 2015 or 2016, about the importance for us as Christians, and I can only preach to this community, I'm the pastor of this community, the importance of us in our community to turn down the volume on the political climate that exists in this country. Very easy for us to point fingers. And there was a lot of finger pointing last night, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more finger pointing in the days ahead. It's very easy for us to point fingers at other people. It's very easy for us, as has been done to many politicians in the past, to take quotes out of context. It's very easy for us to say, "Well, yeah, my guy did this, but the other guy started it." You know, just like those of us who have children know, our kids do when they're 2 or 3 years old. That's the level of discourse that we often have when it comes to politics. It's very easy for us to do that. Perhaps there's a place for it, I don't know, but there's not a place for it here from the pulpit. The reason I share the words with you today of Jesus from Matthew 5 is because what all of us can do is examine ourselves, examine our own hearts, forget about other people's sins for a minute and look inside ourselves. Are we part of the problem? Do we talk like Jesus said some of these people talk, calling our neighbors fools, calling people who disagree with us or have different political opinions idiots? Do we turn up the volume? Do we ratchet it up just a little bit because we want to make our point? And because we think that we're right and others are wrong, and that we surely must know the full truth. But these other idiots, these other fools, don't get it. Because our Lord Jesus Christ clearly teaches us in today's passage, as well elsewhere, that the type of violence that happened last evening, the type of extreme violence that happened last evening, it begins somewhere else. It begins in our hearts. It begins in our words to our neighbors. And perhaps none of us, you know, I'm not saying any of us caused what happened directly last night, but it's part of the collective problem that we, as not just an American society, but as a human civilization and as human beings, have had since time began. And so it is important for us to look inside our own hearts and ask, are we loving our neighbor? Are we loving our enemy? Are we doing what Jesus taught us to do, which is to sit down and to break bread and to have fellowship with them? To speak to one another face to face. One of the reasons that I started our fellowship groups here at St. Mary, for those of you who aren't familiar or haven't participated, we have roughly 3 family units. It can be a single person, it can be people with 8 children, but I randomly put them together for the month for a time of fellowship. It's up to them what type of fellowship they do. Among many other benefits, one of the best benefits of this group is I've had people tell me, you know, Father, you put me with this person and I almost thought about, you know, maybe not showing up, being busy that month, you know, making an excuse not to be there because, you know, I've seen what this person posts on Facebook. I know some of their political opinions, blah, blah, blah. I disagree with them. But you know what? It was very helpful that we sat down together and we had fellowship. And now, even if I don't agree with them, I at least understand where they're coming from better and realize that they're a person. They too are made in the image of God. They're not a political opinion. They're political opinions. They're a human being made in the image of God. And as this week, I'm sure, we'll continue to hear more details. We'll hear more lecturing on TV. We'll hear more pointing of fingers. It's important for us to remember to be calm inside. To remember that all of the people involved are made in the image of God. To remember that we must keep our hearts pure and not be judgmental of our neighbor. And that we must ask God through the messiness of this world to complete His will. There's a few other things that I want to take the opportunity to say today because I don't always have these opportunities. And of course, you know, most of this is not, premeditated, right? I mean, I just found out about this last night. I had a completely other sermon that I'll have to maybe hopefully say for next year when we come back around to these readings until last night. And everyone knows, I think, that everyone has heard me, that I try not to be political from the pulpit. By that, of course, I mean, you know, Democrat, Republican, all of these different divisions that we have in this country. Nevertheless, a person who speaks the Word of God has to be political in a certain sense. Again, not in the sense of a specific party, Because you see, all of these parties offer us a false hope. So I'm not speaking about being on the side of the Democrats or the Republicans or the Libertarians or any of this nonsense that we tie ourselves to as though that is the way, the truth, and the life. But I have to speak political because the gospel is political. You know, the word gospel, it comes not from what we consider to be the gospel itself. That's not its origin. The gospel was the message of good news that every new emperor had to his kingdom. We hear about it today when someone becomes the president. They have their first 100-day plan. And they have all of these slogans that you see on the billboards and stuff. That's their gospel. They're telling you how they're going to make your life better, how they're going to make the world a safer place. Save us, O Son of God, was something that was said to the emperor who was considered to be a son of God. The church has adopted that saying, and the gospel adopted that saying. Why? Because the church is political. Politics is about the organization of the household. It's part of human existence. Whether we like it or not, we can't avoid politics. In and of itself, it's neither good nor bad, it just exists. And today, we commemorate in the church the Fourth Ecumenical Council that told us that Christ, our God, is not only truly God, but fully and truly man. And so he came into this world of us human beings that naturally have politics. And he gave us the true gospel. Not the gospel of the emperors and the kings and the president here on earth, but the gospel of the true emperor, our creator, the one who rules and will judge us in heaven. Because undoubtedly, we will hear calls in the days ahead, and we will hear of talk of retribution and of justice. What a joke. We sell ourselves this concept of justice. It's not a Christian principle. It's not a Christian principle, justice. We're taught at school about justice. We hear about it in the Pledge of Allegiance, right? With liberty and justice for all. It's not even true in our own society. There's liberty and justice for some. That's the way it's always been. In our society, it's the way it'll always be in human society. You know, St. Isaac, said that God is not just. It'd be scandalous to some people because we think the opposite of just is unjust, injustice. But that's not at all what Scripture teaches us, nor is it what St. Ephrem was saying. God is not just. Why? Because God is merciful. If God was just, you and I would be in trouble. If we received what we deserved, we would all be in big trouble. God is not just. We Christians do not teach or preach justice. We preach mercy. We preach mercy. Are you going to tell me that someone who is murdered, we hear on TV, when the person is given, the killer is given the death penalty or life in prison, justice was served. Justice. I mean, give me a break. Does it bring this person back from the dead? Does it give them their life? Is there justice for the man who was shot yesterday, who was just there at a political rally? No justice. Forget about justice. focus on mercy. Because ultimately, that's what our Lord teaches us. Not just in His words, but in His deeds. He teaches us that there is no value in retribution, in seeking so-called justice, by His act on the cross. He had every right, as He said, He could have called upon 10,000s of angels to save Him from the crucifixion. His disciples wanted to fight. Peter took out his sword and cut off the ear of one of the men who was arresting him. And what did Jesus do? He told him, put away the sword. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. And then what did He do? He healed the man's ear. Why? So he could hear the gospel. And our Lord said, enough. Enough of the violence. I'm not going to counteract your violence with violence myself. I'm putting a stop to it here. And I will be crucified on the cross for the salvation of the world. That's the good news of the gospel. You're not going to hear that good news very much this week on the TVs and the radio and Twitter and X, whatever it's called, Facebook, etc. You're not going to hear that gospel proclaimed. But remember, please, when you hear other gospels that are mentioned by those who are speaking up, who have their own needs, their own desires, their own money to make, remember the true gospel. Remember the true gospel. We're not seeking justice. We're seeking mercy. And the one that we follow was willing to lay out his life for that teaching. To him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.